Great show today. We take on the hypocrisy of global warming. We talk to you about the Build Back Better bill, which is the Inflation Reduction Bill. Now, that's the new name of it, but it does not reduce inflation. In fact, it's just going to impoverish you. We tell you about the tax scheme that is now just coming out. They had time to tell us this now. We also will tell you all about Hunter Biden. We have the guy who's leading the investigation in Washington, D.C. This is a podcast that is chock full of all the stuff you need for a Monday. And it's brought to you by Relief Factor. We want to thank Relief Factor for being such a loyal sponsor. And I want to thank them personally for all the changes they've made in my life. I just read on today's radio program, I read a testimonial about a woman who said she couldn't use her hands anymore. Her hands were in so much pain. She said, after using Relief Factor for about a week, she said, it's like I never had pain in my hands. She said, it's just an absolute miracle. Now, it took me about probably 5 weeks to get that way because I had pain in my hands where I couldn't use them either. And it was a godsend to me. Please try Relief Factor. If you want your life back and you're tired of living in pain, will you just please try it? 70% of the people who try the 3-week quick start go on to order more month after month because, like me, it works. $19.95, the starter pack. 70% of the people, maybe you're one of those 70%. If you want a drug-free and natural way to get your life back, it's ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
This is the Glenn Beck program from the Standing Rock Ranch. Welcome to the program, and we welcome Mr. Pat Gray. Hello, Pat. How are you, sir?
Oh, perfect. You know, really.
Really?
Perfect. Yeah.
In every way.
Almost. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Stu is with us. And Stu, how are you? That's fascinating. And thank you for sharing. Stu, is captivating.
Riveting.
Oh, wow, it was.
Riveting.
So let me now go to a piece of audio we had last week. We didn't get to it. I'm sure Pat played it and others have played it. But I don't know what anybody else has said. And I find it absolutely incredible. From the 1960s, here's a clip from the BBC talking to children who are predicting the future in the year 2000. Now, listen to this.
I think it'll be people will be regarded more as statistics than as actual people.
I don't think it's going to be so nice. I think sort of all machines everywhere, everyone doing everything for you. You know, you'll get all bored and I don't think it'll be so nice.
First of all, there's computers are taking over now. Computers and automation. And in the year 2000, there just won't be enough jobs to go around. And the only jobs there will be for people with high HQ, you know, high IQ, who can work computers and such things. And other people are just not going to have jobs. There just aren't going to be jobs for them to have.
Okay. I would like these kids to run the Fed. I don't know about you, but the thing that I grabbed out of this was, who the hell are these children? These are children. They look to be anywhere from 10 to maybe 14. The vocabulary, the thinking that is involved in this, they're asked to predict the future, and they're talking about automation, and people won't have jobs. And listen again to the first one. Play it again. You play the first one again, please? Play it from the beginning and then stop after the first one.
People will be regarded more as statistics than as actual people.
I don't think it's going to be so nice. I think sort of all
stop.
Machines...
People are going to be... How old do you think that kid is? Maybe 10?
10 or
looking
12,
at him,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you're watching The Blaze. Maybe 10, maybe 12. People will be regarded as statistics. What 10-year-old says that? What 10-year-old could say that even about next year? you know, or 2030. Well, I think people will be regarded more as statistics, that there'll be numbers, that computers will be doing everything, and that will give us a lack of self-worth. We won't be able to have the jobs. Just the people who are highly educated, know all about computers, are going to be. You know who made this case in the 1990s? Carl Sagan! Carl Sagan made the points that these kids are making.
He got it from these kids.
If this doesn't... Yeah, he did. He stole it from these kids. Damn, if he were alive today, bastard. Boy, I'd be after him. What is amazing to me is how our educational system has completely failed us. I can't think of kids that are 10 and 12 years old that talk like this. Can you?
No, there aren't adults in the Biden administration that can talk like this. Reason and deduce and come to conclusions like this? They can't. They're incapable of it.
It doesn't seem like there's adults in the Biden administration that can talk.
Right.
Let alone like this.
Right.
They don't seem to be able to get through any form of communication.
Do we happen to have, speaking of that, do we happen to have the Nancy Pelosi monologue that she tried to explain the inflation bill?
Oh, it's from November of 2021. Listen. This one is incredible.
Oh, is it November?
Yeah,
I thought
yeah.
it was from this bill. I just want you to listen and try to tell me what she's talking about when she's discussing a bill that just is in negotiation and passing.
We're sending stuff over to the Senate. Well, it's most of the product that we've done is except now we may have added in the last day or so. And some of what we added is Senate to the bill, like a hearing. Bernie doesn't like hearing. Excuse me. Bernie loves hearing. Manchin doesn't want hearing in the bill and all that stuff. So some is Senate-oriented, and then we have the family medical leave. We figured if they're putting things in, then we can put something in, even if Manchin doesn't like it. So we are getting some... bird and privilege. I think mostly we're getting privilege scrub, because privilege scrub is deadly to a bill. Birdable, it's important. It's you have to take it out, but privilege violation can take you out.
Sure.
So we're again getting that as we go along as well. But when we pass a bill, then they will see it in its aggregate and make some.
Any concerns that any of this is messaging, because that they have to take some of those things out regardless, no matter what you send over? You said you weren't going to send a messaging bill.
No, we're going to send a messaging bill, but we want to be sure that what we send is not birdable or...
Birdable.
Bird bath or
bird bath.
Privilege scrub.
Bird bath.
They're the two...
Or privilege scrub.
exercises we're getting engaged.
Wow. Phew.
Could we just play the 10-year-old again from the BBC?
I think it'll be people will be regarded more as statistics than as actual people.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, either Nancy Pelosi is drinking, which has always been the rumor. She's either hammered. It's Nancy Pelosi. It's hammered time. She's either drinking or she is losing it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure which it is, honestly. These guys that are in Congress, this is the oldest Congress, the oldest representation that we've ever had. There's never been a group of people at this age serving in Washington, D.C., the age of the administration, the age of Congress, the age of Senate. Go home. Go home. It's incredible to me.
There's got to be a rule, right? There's got to be an age limit. Not only do I agree with term limits, but I really think there should be an age limit, because so many of these people are starting to be significantly compromised. Nancy Pelosi is one of them. Joe Biden obviously is another. You've got two of the three most powerful people in the world who are seriously compromised right now, and we're not doing anything about it.
Well, I will tell you that, you know, the average lifespan was in its 30s when we wrote the Constitution. Mm-hmm. That was, I mean, Ben Franklin was probably double the age of the average American. Mm-hmm. And how old was he when he died, Pat? 70?
I think late 70s.
Late 70s. Okay. I remember my grandfather's era. You know, people, when they started Social Security, it's because the average age for when you died, when a man died, was 61. And so they made it at 65. So most people would not get Social Security, but at least you'd have it in case you were an outlier. Well, now people are living to be 80 and 90 years old. And some people are great. I mean, you know, we both know a heart surgeon that is no longer practicing heart surgery, but he's you know, running a global organization, and the guy is 90, Pat, 91, 94, and he is
even older than that.
He's sharper than I am.
Yeah, I think he's 96.
He's sharper than I am. So I hate to say that you have an age limit, but you should have common sense and decency, and your family should have common decency. We all know when our parents and grandparents are just not as strong as they used to be. And we certainly know when they're just incapable of doing things. These people, if they had to drive themselves, I would bet you a lot of the people in Congress that are of her age would have their keys taken away from them. But they don't drive anymore.
Yep. It looks like Franklin was 84.
Yeah, 84.
When he died.
Mm-hmm. 84. And he was at the Constitutional Convention.
Right.
He was still brokering deals.
Yeah.
He was in a great deal of pain at the time. But he wouldn't take morphine because he said it would, or opium, he said because it would addle your brain. And he wanted to remain sharp.
Isn't one of the problems that you're talking about with the age thing, Glenn, like a bigger issue with just the size and scope of government? Because in theory, right, voters, the reason why Nancy Pelosi is in our lives is because the representatives of some blue district keep voting her in. They have the opportunity to select someone younger and more coherent. They just choose not to.
Correct.
Which is not necessarily, I don't think, against what the founders wanted, right? They didn't care if individual districts made bad decisions. I mean, they wanted them to make good decisions. But if an individual district selects as their representative someone who the rest of the country doesn't like, that's in theory fine. The problem is that these people wind up running our lives. If they didn't have all this power when they got to Washington, which they weren't supposed to have, this wouldn't be a problem. It becomes a problem for everyone because Nancy Pelosi has so much of an effect on our day-to-day lives, and she obviously is either drunk or incoherent all the time.
And they thought that the election process would preclude lifetime terms for these people. Mm-hmm. I don't think they envisioned somebody being elected, you know, 30 times in Congress. I mean, come on.
First of all, because it was a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a pain in the ass. That's why they put Washington where it is. It was a swamp. It was mosquito ridden. It was at a time where you could get malaria from mosquitoes. So they knew nobody wanted to go. And it wasn't a full-time job. You had other full-time jobs. So you were like, let's get the business done. I got to go back to work. So they would only meet for a couple of months every year. So it wasn't the way it is now. And also, you know, I go back to America the Beautiful. One of my favorite lines is, more than self, their country loved. Joe Biden does not care. He is building a Biden empire and a Biden cash machine. And I really don't think he loves the country more than himself. And that is the case with a lot of these people. And they may look at you and say, how dare you say that? But they've convinced themselves that that is true. And they've said, well, if I'm not doing it, who would? We've got to change the country. We've got to do this. But they're enriching themselves. This is so corrupt. Nancy Pelosi is so corrupt. Joe Biden is so corrupt. Do you really think they care about you and your community if you're struggling? I.e., the new bill that just was passed to reduce inflation that's going to do anything but. And it's a tax that begins at $30,000. So you're making $30,000 a year. Next year, your taxes are going up. Is that more than self their country loved? Nancy Pelosi announcing she's going to Taiwan when we don't do that. You can go to Taiwan, but you don't, in her position, announce it weeks ahead. You say, I'm going on an Asian tour, and then quietly you go, and then when you're done, you announce it as you're leaving. That's the way we always do it. But she doesn't love the country as much as she loves herself. Or she was drunk, or she's just incompetent. Which one is the best? These people should be shamed into retirement. Shame on you for being, you're not clear enough. I know if I'm not clear enough, I would never come on the air because it would be irresponsible of me. They don't seem to care about it. The question is why? And then the real important question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to continue to vote for, I don't care if it's Republican, independent, I don't care if it's the guy I absolutely love. If Mike Lee, for instance, is starting to slip, I'd be the first one to say, you know, Mike, I don't want to lose this seat, but you got to go. You got to let somebody else that understands at least today's world and is thinking about that, not just thinking about trying to make it through a speech.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Talking now to Congressman James Comer. He is sharing the latest on his investigation into Hunter Biden and the Biden's business dealings. Congressman, thank you for staying with us. Can you tell me who Edward Pruitt is?
Absolutely. He's someone we've just requested information from. We have access to a text message between Hunter Biden and Mr. Pruitt, to where Mr. Pruitt, who was one of Hunter's financial planners, who was coaching Hunter on how to avoid a suspicious activity report, how to avoid getting one of those on a upcoming foreign transaction Hunter was about to make. Now, these transactions that were getting flagged by suspicious activity reports, what flags those are if you do a transaction with a country that's on the sanctions list, like say Syria or somewhere like that, or now Russia, but it wasn't Russia at the time, or if you do a transaction with someone like a drug lord. If you watch the movie Ozark and you saw the guy was wanting off the list, you know, that mm-hmm. list puts him as a sanction, you know. Or if you're doing business with someone suspected of criminal activity. So it could have been where, you know, Hunter was doing business with Russia, you know, for prostitutes and things like that, according to the videos and all that other stuff. I don't know that it's illegal to just order a, you know, a prostitute in a foreign country, unless that entity is suspected of human trafficking, Glenn. Then that
correct, which is
right. That's the problem.
Which is the money that Hunter, with his dad's payments, Hunter was paying a Russian sex ring involved in human trafficking, and that's why they were flagged. And I have to tell you, before I would take any advice from Edward Pruitt, if I'm the president of the United States, I would tell my son, "Hey, stop hiring hookers." The second is, if you're incapable of that, don't hire hookers from Russia, because It's a clear way. Russia and China, they are both known to put people in compromising situations, so they have some way to blackmail our right. officials. It's happening over and over again.
It is, and the date of the text, by this point, Hunter had already received over 140 suspicious activity reports. So the FBI and the DOJ had to know that he was up to no good. But yet, as far as we can tell, nothing's ever been done about it, which raises the suspicion that Johnson and Grassley have had in the Senate. Why hasn't the FBI done something by now? Why haven't they done something? You do all this stuff with the sealed dossier, but you don't do anything, which was fake, by the way. Or you don't do anything with Hunter Biden, and you actually have proof, evidence. There's evidence. Unlike anything Adam Schiff ever said, this stuff with Hunter Biden, we have evidence of wrongdoing, and yet nothing has been done. And it would lead and any investigator in Congress to believe, you know, has this put Joe Biden in a compromised situation? Has this put him at a disadvantage with some of our adversaries for the potential of blackmail with his son or whatever? And that's why we're doing this investigation.
There is absolutely no way that Putin and the highest levels of the Chinese spy agencies, there is no way that they didn't know about these things. So if we were worried about a golden shower taken by Donald Trump in Russia, which was completely made up, why would anyone think that they haven't used this or wouldn't use this against Joe Biden? It makes no sense.
It makes no sense. And I can tell you that the videos that are on that laptop, some of the stories that we've been told by close associates of Hunter, it pretty prevalent. There were a lot of transactions made there. And I don't know that's what – we don't know for sure that's which wire that Pruitt was coaching him on. But the fact that Pruitt was coaching him on how to avoid a suspicious activity report shows that Pruitt knew that Hunter was up to no good, and he was trying to protect him from that, shield him from being in – further investigated. So we want to know what that transaction was. But whatever it was a foreign transaction. And by everything that we can tell, he had transactions with three main countries. He had transactions with Russia, with Ukraine, and with China.
So who is, the China, Russia, apparently they've never blackmailed. The Russian oligarchs, I would imagine Hunter's business partners and Joe Biden's business partners could use blackmail. I have a feeling that the people that were involved are worried that they're going to be thrown under the bus to get Hunter and the president off. Isn't the best line of inquiry would be to give them immunity for their testimony? Because they've got to be freaked that they're going to jail and the uppers won't.
They are, and another message that the New York Post broke last week was from a James Gillier, who was another one of Hunter Biden's associates. And this was a phone message that was recorded from a person that was worried that they would get thrown under the bus for some of these shady business dealings of Hunter's that was coming out in the press. And this James Gillier replied back, don't worry, the big guy's got our back. So when he did that, Gillier became the second Hunter associate, along with Bob Alinsky, to identify Joe Biden as the big guy. And, of course, we all know from Hunter's voicemail and his emails that you had to save 10% for the big guy. Now, if that correct. In fact makes Joe Biden the big guy, and he was trying to get 10% of a Chinese company that's, you know, very involved with the Chinese Communist Party spy agency, then that's a huge, huge problem for Joe Biden.
So let me go back to Ukraine for a second. The money we sent over, these are just a couple of things. I don't know if you have the answer, but I hope somebody in Washington is looking into this. The money we sent over suspiciously, as soon as we sent that money over, the president, President Zelensky, and their version of Congress to change their mind on gay marriage. And I think this has Samantha Power's fingerprints all over it. Are we exacting a price for this money? Do you know?
Your guess would be as good as mine, Glenn. They have not been, this administration has not been transparent with anything they're doing in Ukraine.
So could you, I mean, who looks into things like that? And also, the oligarch that Zelensky just pulled the citizenship from is the guy that owned Burisma and had dealings with Privat Bank that we had our missing $1.8 billion in, and Hunter was connected to the bank and Burisma. But also, Joe Biden, through Hunter, got that guy you were just talking about, Ozark, got this oligarch off that list. He could not come to the United States. Joe and Hunter Biden got him, got that removed so he could have a visa to come here into the United States. And now after we give the money, the guy who, this same oligarch that helped get Zelensky the presidency over in Ukraine, and was the guy that Hunter and Joe Biden were involved with, now his citizenship is revoked. I'm wondering why. Do you have any idea on that one?
I have no idea, but I can tell you this, Glenn. The oligarchs that the Biden administration has clearly shown favoritism to are two oligarchs who have paid Hunter Biden for who knows what. We'll call it consulting services. Those two oligarchs are going to be the key to answering a lot of questions about potential wrongdoings and quid pro quo and every other problem, legal problem that Hunter and potentially his father are going to have once Republicans take the majority in January. I hope the Department of Justice does something before then, but I don't have confidence they will.
Well, one thing I am afraid of with the Department of Justice is that they try him on something, he skates on it, and then double jeopardy. Does that apply to you?
I hope not. We're still going to have hearings with the associates. We're going to have hearings with the bankers. We will try to get as many of the high level people that this administration has let off the hook, the oligarchs. You know, if they're in the United States, we'll do anything we can to get to the bottom of the truth. And these hearings are going to be transparent, and they're going to be a real committee. It's not going to be a Nancy Pelosi handpicked committee with everybody having the same viewpoint. This is going to be a legitimate congressional hearing, and we're going to publish a report, and we're going to walk that over and hand it to the Department of Justice if Biden's still president and there's, you know, the same people are still in control. We're going to be very transparent with the American people on what we publish and what we expect of this Department of Justice.
Well, thank you for that. The last question, do you have evidence that the Secret Service colluded with the Bidens and covered things up, the White House? And do you have evidence that the DOJ was involved and covered things up?
I don't have any evidence of that. You know, the Secret Service hasn't been the most transparent agency in a lot of different things that we've been looking into. So we have nothing there. With the Department of Justice, I know that Johnson and Grassley feel like they have a little bit of evidence. That's more of what the Senate's been looking into. What I've been looking into in the House is more revolved around his banking records. Because once we get these suspicious activity reports, they will specifically say what the bank thought. This was a suspicious wire with this person who is sanctioned in Russia, or this person who is sanctioned, or this business who is sanctioned in China, or we believe he was money laundering here, or we believe that this was an excessive wire from a country that we're not allowed to do business with. So those suspicious activity reports will be able to answer a lot of questions and take us, you know, an enormous way along the path of investigating Hunter Biden's wrongdoing and shady business dealings.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Congressman Comey from Kentucky, thank you for your hard work, sir. And I do indeed hope that you are in charge of the committee and that it is transparent. The American people cannot have closed-door dealings anymore. And I hope you are as transparent as you say you will be. I pray that you have the committee. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
God
bless.
You're listening to the Best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Nancy Pelosi and her bar, and probably some ice cream, flew overnight to Asia. She's in Singapore or Shanghai or one of those S countries or cities. Wasn't that one that Trump was talking about? S countries, I think. Anyway, she's in one of those, and she is she's not saying if she's going to go to Taiwan now. She just won't say. She's tight-lipped. And most of that tightness is from the face stretching that she's had done over the years. But she's very tight-lipped now. And it's nice because China said pretty much, you know, kind of like we're thinking maybe an act of war if you go. Who are we to say? So it's fabulous. And we wish her all the best. We really do. Now, here's the next story that I think is kind of important. You know, I just told you that Hawaii was, taking themselves out of the coal business. They're not taking any more shipments. And don't worry, that the other plants, the solar panels, they'll all be done in 2 weeks. Don't worry about it. And Europe is in the same exact situation. Now, here's the good news. People are starting to rethink, natural gas. I mean, that's pretty clean, right? And what about nuclear energy? Ding, ding, ding. They'd already gotten turned off all their nukes and everything else. Now, Russia's back online sending them the gas, but they've, where did we put that extra 20%? So now they're cutting it down by 20%. And they're not sure if they're going to have, they know they're not going to have enough. They're not sure they're going to get anything once it turns to winter with Russia. You know, Russians seem to be, a little harsh from time to time. And they're kind of pissed off at this point. And I love this. Coal fire plants are being revived in Germany. Billions are being spent on terminals to bring in liquefied natural gas. And they are looking for any kind of natural gas. Who has any kind of natural gas that they could sell to Europe? And we've looked the world over, and we just can't find any country that has natural gas. And gosh, I wish we could help Europe out, but we just don't have any. We have none. So they're on a knife's edge. The Germany's biggest cities are now saying that they're going to have to reduce. Everybody's going to have to reduce their usage, their consumption of energy by 16%. I think that extra 1%, 15%, nice round number, about 15%. They got it down to 16. And so I think that means, do not use a 4 slice toaster. You can use 2, but not 4. And you're not allowed to heat your home over 68 degrees, and you're not allowed to air condition your home below 78 degrees. So it's going to be very nice. It's going to be very nice. They're going to have to sacrifice a little bit. The city has also banned the use of mobile air conditioning units and fan heaters. And, I don't know about you, but and I've thought this out a lot because I care about the planet and global warming and what are all these people going to do? You know, they're going to die from heat. And I have an idea, and you can write this down. Germany, you can take this for free. It's called air conditioning. And I know you want to stop with the energy. That one solved natural gas. Or nuclear plants, or dare I say it, coal, until you get those things running again. But if you're not going to do that, well, then people are going to die. And there's just no way around that.
Yeah, well,
this is a well thought out plan. I've been thinking about it for years, Stu.
You have been, Glenn, and there's this idea that we can't impact the Earth. If you think about things in through that framework, you have a problem. If you think about things in the framework of protecting human life and having human life flourish, you think about things a little differently. Like you wrote in...
Can you imagine... hang on just a second. Can you imagine, Stu, what they're saying is global warming, the whole world will be like Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
Which we know has no people. They're all dying of, you know, heat exhaustion. And I feel bad for the population.
Yeah, they act as if we can't see what a world would be like if there were a lot of heat waves. What if you had a community there where you saw triple digit temperatures often? Yeah, well, what if? We have them already. We see how people deal with that. They're now trying to make the same point about the Northwest. Well, they don't have a lot of air conditioning. People in the Northwest don't have air conditioning. People in Seattle don't have it. You get some. Here's what you wrote in an Inconvenient Book. This is back in 2006. So this is not you coming up last minute with this solution. When the heat wave of 2003 hit Europe, nearly 35,000 mostly elderly people died. The size and scope of the tragedy gave global warming theorists an opportunity to spout their views to almost every news camera on the globe. They claimed that events like this justify the EU spending an estimated $1.443 trillion by 2023, which is right around the corner now, to alter its energy industry enough to possibly avert climate change. 100 years ago, there was nothing you could do about a heat wave except stay away from fat, smelly relatives. Now we can do this magic thing called condition the air. 35,000 air conditioners cost about $2.5 million. Or perhaps you can pick a few vacant office buildings that your economy and its double-digit unemployment rates can't support and turn the AC on. Then just fire up a few gasoline-powered school buses and shuttle old people to the air-conditioned facilities. Repeat every time it gets hot. It would solve the problem.
It was a tough. I mean, I worked in a think tank for a very long time on that solution.
You sure did. That's what the left loves to leave out of this equation: the fact that we can do things to solve whatever issues there might be. So if we do get more heat waves, which I don't think is a certainty, but if we do, then we will deal with it. Mm-hmm. What is the main thing we're trying to do here when it comes to the climate? The main thing we would be trying to do is to limit the amount of people who die because of the climate, right? That's the main metric you'd think we'd be focusing on. And
you'd think we're focused on.
Though that chart of how that has progressed has not shown up in any UN IPCC report. We do have it, though, from your book, An Inconvenient Book. And it shows the rate of death from extreme weather that has dropped by about 99% from 1915 to 2000. In this book, it ends at 2004, though we know the rate has dropped even farther since then. And it's because we've come up with solutions to deal with these things. We've advanced and adapted and made life better for people, yet the left always says the opposite.
Look, you can quote boneheads like whoever wrote that book, or you can quote Bill McGuire, who's just put a new book out last week, Hot House Earth, An Inhabitant's Guide. And he argues that after a year of ignoring warnings from scientists, it is now too late to avoid the catastrophic impacts of climate change. And at this point, there's nothing we can do. Now, if I'm writing that book, that's where the book starts. That's where the book ends. You close it. But he found a few other things to say. Now, the University College of London Earth Sciences, he's a professor there, said that the record-breaking heat waves across the UK and the dangerous wildfires, I mean, that's global warming. And as we headed further into 2022, soon it'll be unrecognizable to every one of us, meaning the world. And I think that's true. It's already unrecognizable, you know, when people are saying a heat wave is going to scare all of us to death. Burn all of us to death if we don't die in the fiery flood. He's now saying that we have to have zero emission. We have to have it right away. I don't know why we have to, because, well, it's too late to do anything about it. I say we take all the money and buy air conditioners myself. However, there are some things that that can be done, and that is we'll stop Taylor Swift from flying in a private jet. She said that she has now found out that Taylor Swift, yes, America's sweetheart, her jet, her CO2 emissions total about 1,200 times more than the emissions from the average person's annual emissions, 7 metric tons. She's got 1,200 times that. Her jet emits more carbon dioxide than any other celebrity jet. But she says, wait, you can't pin that on me, because I lease my jet out and other people use my jet. I don't use it all the time. You know, it's other people that do it. Well, she can try to get away with it all you want, but we know she should probably be in climate jail along with somebody else. Yes, Leonardo DiCaprio. We all know and love him. He was a survivor of the Titanic. Who knew? But he survived, and yet he still has the courage to get onto big boats. Apparently, he's got a vacation record on large, like 250-foot yachts that is doing a lot of damage to the environment. And the man who took him on was the Brazilian president, Bolsonaro. And this weekend, Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, tweeted about the rainforests and how it, blah, blah, blah. And the Brazilian president wrote, hey, you should give up your yacht before you lecture about the environment here in Brazil. OK, he was just pictured on a $150 million yacht. It's the largest manufactured in Britain. It produces about 238 tons of carbon dioxide per mile. And he said, look, you again, Leo? I mean, I could tell you again, give up your yacht before lecturing the world, but I know you progressives. You want to change the entire world, but never change yourself. So I'm going to let you off the hook. But between us, it's weird to see a dude who pretends to love the planet paying more attention to Brazil than to the fires harming Europe and his own country. You know, that's a problem. He says, Leo, unlike the places you're pretending not to see by brilliantly playing the role of a blind man, Brazil is and will carry on being a nation that with the most preserves. You can carry on with your Hollywood star toys as we do our job. In my government, the average deforestation is way lower than it was in the past when the crook turned candidate that your Brazilian buddy supports was in power. It's clear that everyone who attacks Brazil and its sovereignty for the sake of virtue signaling doesn't have a clue about the matter. They don't know, for instance, that we preserve more than 80% of our native vegetation, or that we have the cleanest energy among G20 nations. I mean, he goes on and on and on. It's nice to hear somebody fight back and just not take it. When if it's true that they have the cleanest energy among the G20, he should be heralding them, but he's not. Instead, he's on his yacht lecturing everybody, and he's targeting Brazil. Why? Because it's not a progressive candidate that is currently running the country.